Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Jaya Radha Radha Bihari Radha Radha Bihari Radha Jaya Radha Radha Bihari Radha Radha Bihari Jaya Goranitai, Jaya Goranitai, Goranitai, Jaya Goranitai, Jaya Goranitai, Jaya Goranitai, Goranitai, Jaya Goranitai, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jayam Vishnupad Paramahansa Bhari Prajakacharya Stotra Sutasi Simad Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Iskhan Samstapakacharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jayam Vishnupad Paramahansa Bhari Prajakacharya Stotra Sutasi Simad Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasati Goswami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnavinda Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem se kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadigaur Bhakta Vrindaki Jai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shamakunda Radha Kundgiri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Navadvip Dham Ki Jai Jamuna Mai Ki Jai Ganga Mai Ki Jai Tulsi Devi Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Samveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Nitai Gaur Premanande Harivo. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. You read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 10. The Pastimes of Lord Ramachandra. Text 20. Please repeat. Te Anikapa Ragupate Abhipatya Sarve Dvandvam Varutam Iba Pati Rata Ashva Yodai Jagnu Jumai Giri Gada Ishubi Angada Adya Sita Abhimarsha Hata Mangala Ravana Ishan. Te nikapara gupater abhipatya sarve. Dvandvam varutam iba pati ratasvas yodhai. Jagnur Jumair Giri Gade Shubir Angadadya Sita Bhimarsha Hata Mangala Ravaneshan Te nikapara gupater abhipatya sarve. Dvandvam varutam iba pati ratasva yodhai. Jagnur Jumair Giri Gade Shubir Angadadya Jagnur Sita Bimarsha Hata Mangala Ravaneshan. Ladies, commanders of the soldiers, Raghupate of Lord Sri Ramchandra, Abhipatya Chasing the enemy. Sarve. All of them. Dvandvam. Fighting. Varutam. The soldiers of Ravana. Ibha. By elephants. Pati. By infantry. Ratha. By chariots. Ashva. By horses. Yodhai. By such warriors. Jagnu. Killed them. Jumai. By throwing big trees. Giri. By peaks of mountains. Gada. By clubs. Ishubi. By arrows. Angada Adya. All the soldiers of Lord Ramachandra, headed by Angada and others. Sita, of Mother Sita. Abhimarsha, by the anger. Hata, had been condemned. Mangala, whose auspiciousness. Ravana Ishan, the followers or dependents of Ravana. Translation. Angada and the other commanders of the soldiers of Ramachandra faced the elephants, infantry, horses, and chariots of the enemy and hurled against them big trees, mountain peaks, clubs, and arrows. Thus the soldiers of Lord Ramachandra killed Ravana's soldiers, who had lost all good fortune because Ravana had been condemned by the anger of Mother Sita. Please repeat. Angada and the other commanders of the soldiers of Ramachandra faced the elephants, infantry, horses, and chariots of the enemy, and hurled against them big trees, mountain peaks, clubs, and arrows. Thus the soldiers of Lord Ramachandra killed Ravana's soldiers, who had lost all good fortune because Ravana had been condemned by the anger of Mother Sita. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The soldiers of Lord Ramachandra recruited in the jungle were all monkeys and did not have proper equipment with which to fight the soldiers of Ravana. For Ravana's soldiers were equipped with weapons of modern warfare, whereas the monkeys could only throw stones, mountain peaks, and trees. It was only Lord Ramachandra and Lakshman who shot some arrows. But because the soldiers of Ravana were condemned by the curse of Mother Sita, the monkeys were able to kill them simply by throwing stones and trees. There are two kinds of strength, Daiva and Purusakara. Daiva refers to the strength achieved from the transcendence, and Purusakara refers to the strength organized by one's own intelligence and power. Transcendental power is always superior to the power of the materialist. Depending on the mercy of the Supreme Lord, one must fight one's enemies, even though one may not be equipped with modern weapons. Therefore, Krishna instructed Arjuna, Mam anusmara yudhyacha, think of me and fight. We should fight our enemy to the best of our ability, but for victory, we must depend on the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chaksun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swa Padantikam. I was going to make it brief. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Varavani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatideshtarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Panchakalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyascha Titanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. So, I chose today's verse for two main reasons. The first is that it celebrates the victory of Lord Ramachandra over Ravana. Personally, after being based in Bombay for about 30 years, I was away for the last 7 or 8 years. And it just so happened that I returned on the day of Dasara, Ram Vijay Dasami, which celebrates the victory of Ram over Ravana. The other reason is that several devotees have asked me to speak about the history of Hare Krishna land. And the history of Hare Krishna land is similar to the battle between Lord Ramachandra and his army of monkeys and Ravana and his powerful forces who were well equipped for battle. If we read the list, on the one side we find Vibha elephants, putti, infantry, ratas, chariots, ashva, horses, yodai, such warriors. It sounds like a very powerful array. And on the other side, Jumai, trees, giri, peaks of mountains, gada, clubs, ishubi, arrows, angada adya, the soldiers headed by angada and other monkeys. So it sounds like an uneven match. And as Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport, these soldiers in Ramachandra's army, they basically just threw the boulders and trees. And it was only Ram and Lakshman who were the ones who threw some arrows. So it sounds like a very unfair match. And one would think that the army with the elephants and chariots and horses and infantry would easily win. But the fact is the opposite, that the army composed of monkeys who were just throwing mountain peaks and trees were successful. So why? Why is it that the forces that would appear to be less powerful were victorious? And Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport that there are two kinds of strength. Daiva, which is strength derived from transcendence, from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Prusakara, which is the strength that one can organize by one's own intelligence and resources. And the strength derived from transcendence is always superior. On the other hand, the Ravana and his followers were condemned by the curse of Mother Sita, whom Ravana had offended. And because they had been condemned by her curse, her anger, they lost all good fortune. The struggle here at Hare Krishna land actually included three phases. You could say the first phase was the struggle to get the land in the name of Srila Prabhupada and ISKCON. The second phase was the struggle to get the permission to build the temple. And the third phase was the struggle to actually build the temple. And Srila Prabhupada led us in the struggle, and we were successful. Now we're in the fourth phase, the struggle to use the facility properly. And I guess we'll see what the outcome is. Of course, it is being used properly. One well, if I get the chance, I may give a series of these talks because the history itself could take months to describe in full. And each aspect of the struggle would have some spiritual or philosophical lessons to be derived. But we're taking this theme, which is the theme overall for all aspects of the struggle. But in brief, just to give some background, in 1970, Srila Prabhupada inspired his disciples to put on a big Pandav program in downtown Bombay at Cross Maidan. And as the main means to raise funds for the program, devotees were meeting business people, mainly, and others, to ask them to contribute for advertisements in the souvenir to be published on the occasion. So we would get lists of people. Sometimes we would just go door to door. And one of the people that the devotees happened to call upon was Mr. A.B. Nair, who was the owner of the Free Press Journal, which at the time was one of three English daily newspapers in Bombay. He had been the sheriff of Bombay, and he was a wealthy person. At the time, he was one of maybe three most prominent people who lived in the Juhu area. Actually, our main list of prospects came from Srimati Sumati Morarji, who lived in Juhu and had given Srila Prabhupada free passage on one of her steamships to America. So when Srila Prabhupada returned to India after having begun Krishna consciousness in America, she arranged a program for him on the terrace of the Sindhya House in Ballard Estate. And she invited all the prominent people of Bombay. So after the program, we asked her for the list of invitees. So Mr. Nair's name was on the list. So the first devotee to meet him was Tushta Krishna Prabhu, who has since left his body. Anyway, after the meeting, Mr. Nair sent a letter to Srila Prabhupada informing him that he had a land at Juhu, which he wanted to give for some noble cause, such as Srila Prabhupada's. And Srila Prabhupada looked into it, and at the time, this land where we're sitting now was completely vacant. There was a little shack in the corner. Otherwise, it was completely vacant, and at the back, there were six tenement buildings, two-story tenement buildings, with tenants. Mr. Nair had built them. He was from Kerala, so they were mostly from Kerala. And the front portion was just overgrown with brush, and it's said that the local people used to distill illicit liquor. They used to hide it in the brush on the property. At the time, Juhu itself was not very built up. It was known as a fishing village. But of course, the beach was there. Srila Prabhupada commented that his big attraction for the land here was the beach. And that was basically it. I mean, there was the Sun and Sand Hotel and just a small village. So for some time, we didn't really have any proper place for Srila Prabhupada to stay. He began by staying with one of the tenants, Mr. Acharya. He's a very nice devotee in the Madhva Sampradaya. This was after entering into the agreement to purchase the land. And the devotees were living in tents. And we cleared the land in the front and made a shamiana and brought the deities there. After some time, after about 2 years actually, one of the tenants moved, and we got his flat, and for the first time Srila Prabhupada had a proper place of his own where he could stay here. Before then, after the initial stay at Mr. Acharya's place, he would just stay with different neighbors in the neighborhood. So one evening, Srila Prabhupada was sitting on the terrace of that small building, F block or D block, depending on how you calculate, but originally it was F block. And at about 7 o'clock, he was being fanned by one devotee named Haridas, who's still here. And at about 10 after 7, perhaps Srila Prabhupada asked Haridas, "Do you hear that sound?" And Haridas listened. He couldn't hear any sound. Prabhupada said, "Do you hear it?" And Haridas Prabhu said, "No, Srila Prabhupada, I don't." He said, you don't hear the sound of the kirtan coming from the temple?" And Haridas said, "No." And Srila Prabhupada said, "That is exactly the point. There is no kirtan in the temple." "Why not?" Then Haridas conjectured and told Srila Prabhupada that the devotees must be out preaching, collecting. And Srila Prabhupada became very serious, and he said, "That was not my idea, that they should go out all day and night to collect funds." He said they should go in the morning, but by 5 o'clock in the afternoon they should come back. Otherwise, they'll become just like karmis. Karmis means fruitive workers, people who work to get money and then spend the money to enjoy material things. Then Srila Prabhupada asked Haridas, "Do you know why we were successful here? Mr. Nair was much more powerful than we were. He owned a big newspaper. He had been the sheriff of Bombay. He had influence. He had money. And we had no money. We had no influence. But still, we were successful. Why?" Then Haridas Prabhu said, "You better say." And Srila Prabhupada replied, "We were successful because we were working to please Krishna. And by Krishna's pleasure and mercy, we were successful." And then Srila Prabhupada elaborated that we should always act to please Krishna. And if we act for his pleasure and if he's pleased, then by his mercy, we will be successful in whatever we do. And then he said that the devotees should come back and they should chant and dance in front of the deities in the evening. That will please the deities. And when the deities are pleased, by their mercy, we will be successful. We're not successful by our own strength. Because in terms of personal strength, Mr. Nair and his allies were much more powerful than we are. But we're successful by the mercy of Krishna. Now, of course, we also have to make our own effort. We can't just sit back and wait for Krishna's mercy. We also have to make our own effort. And our effort to please Krishna will make us candidates for Krishna's mercy. And therefore, at the end of the purport, Srila Prabhupada quotes Krishna's instruction to Arjuna, "Mam anusmara yudyacha," think of me and fight. We have to do both. We think of Krishna, man anusmara, we remember Krishna, yudyacha, and fight. And as Srila Prabhupada concludes, we should fight our enemy to the best of our ability. We should fight our enemy to the best of our ability, but for victory, we must depend on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This principle is demonstrated vividly in the Damodar Lila. We have just entered the month of Damodar, also known as Kartik, just 2 days ago. Damodar is a name for Krishna. Dama means ropes and Udara means belly. So it is Krishna who is bound by ropes around the belly by Mother Yashoda. You know the story. I won't repeat it. But after Mother Yashoda set aside baby Krishna to tend to the milk on the fire, Krishna became angry because he wasn't satisfied. Mother Yashoda had been nursing him, and Krishna wasn't satisfied when she set him aside. So he became angry, and he took the makhan that Yashoda Mai had been churning and ate it and went into the next room, and he broke a pot of yogurt and was eating it and distributing it to his monkey friends. In fact, it is said that many of the monkeys who assisted Lord Ramachandra in his pastimes, they also took birth and assisted, became friends of Krishna. That Lord Ram was so indebted to these monkeys for helping him in his fight against Ravana that in their next life they took birth in Vrindavan, and he personally fed them makhan from his own hand. So Mother Yashoda, after dealing with the milk, she came back and she saw the butter-smeared footprints of Krishna on the floor, and she followed them. She saw Krishna in the next room, standing on an upturned grinding mortar and feeding his monkey friends and eating. So she wanted to bind him with ropes and tie him down. For one, she wanted to teach him a lesson. And for the other reason, she wanted to prevent him from getting into further trouble, creating even more mischief. So first there was a chase. When he saw her, he became frightened and began to run away. Eventually, she caught him by, or we could say he allowed her to catch him. And then when she tried to bind him, she found that the ropes were short by the width of two fingers. And this was very peculiar, because every morning when Krishna would get dressed, Mother Yashoda would tie a belt around his waist, and she never had any trouble. But anyway, all right, so the rope was too short. She got more ropes and added them, but still it was too short. He added more ropes, and being in the cowherd community, they had many ropes. So she added more ropes. It was still too short. Then the neighbors, they brought all their ropes. They had miles and miles of ropes. But still, the ropes were always two fingers too short. So finally, Krishna looked at Yashoda. She was like breathing heavily, perspiring. She was laboring very hard. She was very sincere, in other words, in her desire to serve him. And she thought that her service as his mother was to teach him properly and keep him from mischief. So seeing her tireless effort, she didn't give up. Her friends were saying, "Forget it. This is not working. You're never going to be able to bind him. Forget it. Just leave it." But she didn't give up. And Krishna was pleased with her mood of service and taking compassion upon her, he allowed her to bind him with ropes. So our acharyas, Srila Jiva Goswami, Srila Vishwana Chakravarti Thakur, have commented on this pastime. That what are these two fingers that she was short, or what were the two fingers that was the distance that prevented her from binding Krishna? One was Mother Yashoda's endeavor. Parishram, her hard labor to bind Krishna, and the other was Krishna's mercy, Krishna Kripa. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that in Vraja Leela, which is Nar Leela, human-like pastimes, the devotees forget that Krishna is God. They forget his opulences. And Krishna himself also forgets. He's so enraptured by the mood of love and service of the Vrajavasis, he also forgets that he's God. Only on certain occasions, when necessary to protect the residents of Vrindavan, or for some special purpose, does Krishna remember that he's God. For example, there's a forest fire. So the Vrajavasis approach Krishna, please save us. Then Krishna's Lila Shakti, or pastime potency, will remind him that he's God, and that he can swallow the forest fire. But otherwise he forgets. Otherwise, how could he be so afraid of Mother Yashoda and her stick? He wasn't pretending, he was actually afraid. Because to reciprocate with her mood of maternal affection, he completely identified as her son. And he was afraid when he saw her with the stick in her hand coming to punish him, and he fled in fear. So Krishna has many potencies, many energies. So one of them is his Satya Sankalpa Shakti. That means the potency by which all of his desires are fulfilled. So in this pastime, Mother Yashoda had her desire, which was to bind Krishna and teach him a lesson and keep him from further mischief. But Krishna had his desire. He wanted to play freely. He wanted to eat makan. He wanted to feed the monkeys. He wanted to play with his friends. So his desire and her desire were opposed. So the Satya Sankalpa Shakti intervened on Krishna's behalf to help him fulfill his desires, because he's God. Without even trying, his desires are fulfilled. And another Shakti, came into play, the Vibhuti Shakti, that's the Krishna's opulences. So these two combined together to make Krishna's belly unbindable. Always, somehow, although it always looked the same, somehow the ropes were always too, the fingers too short. But in this competition between Krishna's desire and Yashoda's desire, ultimately Yashoda's desire prevailed. And Krishna, being moved by her intense endeavor, gave her his mercy and allowed her to bind him. And that is always the case in the competition between Krishna and his pure devotee, that the desire of his pure devotee prevails. But that, of course, is not a fault in Krishna. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that Krishna's partiality towards his devotees, bhakta vatsalyata, is not a fault or dushan, but it is an ornament or bhushan. It is his greatest ornament, his greatest quality. And by this pastime, he showed that he came under the control of the love of his pure devotee. But coming back to our more contemporary story, we find the same principle. We have to make our effort, strenuous effort, parishram, and when we are successful in obtaining Krishna's mercy, Krishna's kripa, we will be successful. And it's a general principle. Now, we might think that this principle applies in such cases as the battle against Ravana, the battle of Kurukshetra, or in Mother Yashoda's attempt to bind Krishna. But how does it apply to me? Because we're not on that level. We're not on that level. And also we're in Kali Yuga. In previous ages, the Lord would appear in Kshatriya families and he would actually kill the demons. Now we're in Kali Yuga and practically as Nityananda Prabhu told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if you kill Jagayan Madhai, in Kali Yuga, you'll have to kill everyone, because everyone is like Jagai and Madhai, meat-eaters and drinkers and sex-mongers. It is said that in Sattva Yuga, demons lived in different planets. So you have this like interplanetary warfare between demons and devotees. Then in Treta Yuga, they lived in different families. You'd have demonic dynasties and devotee dynasties. Then in Dwarpa Yuga, you'd have devotees and demons in the same family. Like the Pandavas and Kauravas, they were in the same family, ultimately, but some were devotees and some were demons. And in Kali Yuga, you have devotees and demons in the same body. Each one of us has a divine nature or tendency and a demonic nature or tendency. So this battle is always going on within us. In the Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna says of the mind, that the mind can be your best friend or your worst enemy. When the mind is engaged in Krishna consciousness, it's your best friend. But when it's engaged in material sense gratification, it's your worst enemy. In fact, when Lord Nrisimha appeared before Prahlad, that was another story of a fight between demons and devotees. And Prahlad's father was a great demon, Hiranyakasipu. But Prahlad told Nrisimhadev that I consider my worst enemy to be my mind and senses. So this war is always going on between our higher self and our lower self. Again, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, we have to control the lower self by the higher self. And what is our process? Our process is to hear and chant about Krishna, Sankirtan. Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. All glory to the Sankirtan movement, or all glory to the congregational chanting of the holy name. So chanting, as Srila Prabhupada said, chanting is easy. The physical process of chanting is very easy. It requires a movement of the tongue and lips, and you can chant. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. But to hear the sound of the holy name consistently is not so easy. That is a battle. It's a battle with the mind, to keep the mind fixed on the sound of the holy name, or to keep the mind fixed on Krishna. So Vai Krishna Mana Padara Vindayor, that Bhaja Hure Mana Srinandanandana Abhai Charanara Vindare. If we keep our mind fixed on Krishna, the lotus feet of Krishna, we will have no fear. In the material world, we're always fearful. What's going to happen to me next? So our goal is that Maya Sakta Mana Partha Yogam Yunjan Madashraya. Krishna says that one should practice yoga with mind attached to him. So that's our whole focus. Srila Prabhupada said, yoga means to fix the mind on Krishna. So the mind can be our enemy. And in this fight to hear the holy name and glories of Krishna, we have to endeavor. And it's not easy. It's very easy to give up. Like Yashoda's friends were telling her, You can't do it. Forget it. Give up. So we might also feel the same. We can't control the mind. We can't fix the mind on the sound of the holy name. So just give up. We'll chant because we feel we must chant. And if at a certain stage in Krishna consciousness we vow that we will complete 16 rounds every day. But we should chant without offense. Then the chanting will really work. We shouldn't just chant for the sake of chanting, just to make a show that I'm chanting. But we should actually hear. Inattention is one of the offenses. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that if we chant attentively, all the other offenses will be eradicated. And if we chant inattentively, then the other offenses will grow. So we want to chant with attention, and to pronounce each word, each syllable clearly, and hear each word, each syllable. And that's a struggle. And we cannot do it on our own strength, but we do have to make our best effort. Parishram, we cannot give up. And eventually Krishna will be merciful. We will get Krishna Kripa. And we'll be able to bind Krishna within our minds, within our hearts. Or he will allow us, allow himself to be bound by us. So that's our daily struggle. It's our struggle day by day, hour by hour, moment by moment. And we can be successful by, as Srila Prabhupada says, we should fight our enemy to the best of our ability, but for victory we must depend on the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that made Srila Prabhupada and the devotees successful here at Hare Krishna land. It made the monkey warriors of Lord Ramachandra victorious over the sophisticated army of Ravana, and it can make us successful in our effort to become Krishna conscious and chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions or comments? Yes, Devaki Nandan Prabhu. He says, didn't Srila Prabhupada say that Hare Krishna land was Kurukshetra? New Kurukshetra. What I heard, and it's embarrassing for me to have to be the one to say, what I heard was that he said that Hare Krishna land is a Kurukshetra and Giriraj's Arjun. They said like that, it's like Kurukshetra. But he didn't give it a name like New Kurukshetra, New Vrindavan. But as far as I know. Thank you.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. In general, Prabhupada, I suppose, had said, preach to the classes. The classes will preach to the masses. Preach to the classes. Classes will preach to the masses. Now, what does this classes include as per Prabhupada? Is it only the economically stronger people, or also the the intellectually stronger people, even if they were not economically very strong? So Prabhupada, what kind of people did he refer to when he said preach to the classes? What does this classes include? What kind of people it includes?
Yes, well, everyone heard, right? Because of the microphone. He's asking about Srila Prabhupada's instruction to preach to the classes. Well, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, yad yad acharati shrestas, that whatever the leaders do, the common people will follow. So there are different types of leaders. There intellectual leaders, their political leaders, their economic leaders, and people follow them. So, although a pure devotee sees everyone equally, Pandita Samadarshana, but in terms of using his time and energy to preach, if he can convince one leader, then that leader in turn can convince so many others to follow. Just like in America, Srila Prabhupada said that if you make one college student a devotee, it's equal to making 10 other young people devotees. Because each college student that you make a devotee can make 10 other devotees. So that's the idea. There's no partiality, but it's just practical. Whatever the leader does, the others follow. So the challenge is, the challenge with leaders is that they can be proud. Intellectual leaders, that's the defect of Brahmins. They're proud, tend to be proud. But if you can convince an intellectual leader, that's wonderful. Political leaders tend to be attached. But if you can convince a political leader, that's wonderful. Economic leaders, they usually don't have that like pride in their ideas, and they're not like that attached to their positions. But I also noticed that a rich, it was very common when I would meet a rich person that he would like give me his philosophy. You know, and it's like the richer he was, the more convinced he was about his philosophy, even though it could be complete nonsense. But somehow he thought because he had money, it meant he was some sort of authority on everything. And then there are leaders from the Vedic point of view, like artists and acrobats, they would be considered lower caste. They're big leaders, cricket players and movie stars. So, but if they become Krishna conscious, then so many will follow. And the best example probably in the whole history of ISKCON is George Harrison. He was a very, very, very sincere devotee. In fact, one of our godbrothers, Yogeshwar Prabhu Joshua Green, he wrote a book about George Harrison called Here Comes the Sun, about the musical and spiritual journey of George Harrison. George Harrison had been a member of the Beatles, the most popular musical group in history. He actually visited here, Hare Krishna Land, in 1974. Maybe 1970. Well, anyway. Yeah, he was in India and he came here. At the time we were just beginning, well, the construction was underway. It's like really a very elevated soul, very elevated. So he came, Shamsundar Prabhu was here. Shamsundar was his best friend in Krishna consciousness. And So Shamsundar greeted him. Then we took him on a tour. We showed him the temple construction. He was like so positive, so encouraging, so enthusiastic about everything. And then at 12:30, the conch shell blew, and the pujari began the Rajbhog Arati. So we finished the tour, and we went to the temple. And he offered obeisances, and so we did a little kirtan, and he sang. May have even picked up a mridanga and sang in the arati. And then afterwards, we arranged a plate of mahaprasad for him to take prasad. And at that time, Srila Prabhupada was staying in that small flat that I mentioned that had belonged to one of the tenants. And then, you know, he was with Srila Prabhupada after that. We didn't see him again for a while. And then, you know, I never forget this incident. There was a family of life members in the Juhu scheme, the Valia family, at a nice house on the 8th road called Hare Krishna. The name of the house was Hare Krishna. Sometimes people would go to their house thinking it was the Hare Krishna temple. And the wife was very pious. She was always doing puja. They were all nice, the husband, P.G. Valia. So he had a son, forget the boy's name, he was about maybe 10 years old at the time. So somehow he came up to my office. My office was like really small, about, I don't know, 5 feet by, it was like a, it had been like a bathroom stall, I think, something about that size, 5 feet by 10 feet or something. Anyway, he came up there. Somehow he had heard that George Harrison was here, and he wanted to see him. So I said, well, actually he's with Srila Prabhupada now. I was a little simple, that's another thing. But anyway, I said he's with Srila Prabhupada now and nobody can disturb them. So he stood there for a moment, and then I could see the thought went in his mind that he's just going to go. So he just stopped for a minute, and then he started running down the stairs. And then like a minute later, I realized what was happening. So I pursued him. It was like Mother Yashoda. So I was pursuing him. He was smaller than me. He was running faster. And I wanted to get him and stop him from interrupting the meeting. So I saw him. He was ahead of me. I was running after him. He ran into the F block and ran up the stairs. I was running behind him. But I couldn't stop him. He opened the door, and there was Srila Prabhupada and George Harrison. And George Harrison, really, he was like just a very elevated soul. He was sitting like a yogi with his legs crossed, erect, and Srila Prabhupada was speaking to him. And he was like the perfect student with the perfect master, just sitting so attentively listening to Srila Prabhupada's instructions. And then this little boy ran in the room, and it just sort of ended the meeting. You know, I was thinking, well, we can take him out, you know, but maybe it was the time, you know, maybe Prabhupada took it was Krishna's arrangement, but that was the end of the meeting. But yeah, he came here and... a very elevated soul. And so many people became devotees because of him. And if you read his biography, he was very open in speaking about Krishna. Very open. Even though he knew that, you know, some people wouldn't like it. But he was very open about it. And he would send, of course, he was very important in so many ways. He did so much service, amazing service. But he was the one who gave us the Bhaktivedanta Manor, which is such a center of Krishna consciousness. And, you know, when people would ask him, he would tell them, you should go to the Hare Krishna temple. And often he'd give people one of his limousines, and he would send them to the temple, Bhaktivedanta Manor. But those were the people he knew personally, but through his songs, through his public statements, so many people became devotees. So yad yad acharati shrestas, whatever the leaders do, common people follow. So that's why it's very important. It's very important to convince the leaders. But otherwise, we make no distinction. We see everyone equally. Once, when Srila Prabhupada was staying at Kartikeya Mahadevia's house at Sea Face Park, I brought quite a rich man to meet Srila Prabhupada, S.K. Tirani. He was married to one of the Birla ladies, and he owned Kora's, an office supply company. And then Prabhupada had a very staunch devotee, like a more humble devotee. He was a businessman, an iron merchant, and he was there. He actually took initiation. His name was Kishanlal Kedriwal, but he was initiated as Manmohan Das. But what struck Manmohan about that meeting is, even though this rich man had come, like connected with the Birla family, a big industrialist, Prabhupada treated them both the same. What he could see, Prabhupada treated them both the same, and that really touched him, that he could see that Prabhupada wasn't influenced by someone's money or position or prestige. We can be. We cultivate some big man. We can, whew, I'm friends with so-and-so. I'm going to so-and-so's house. But Prabhupada wasn't like that. He was attached to Krishna, and he was attached to preaching. And for that reason, he would give special attention to leaders. But personally, he had no attachment to being associated with them. He had no false pride of such association. And ultimately he responded to the bhakti. Wherever there's bhakti, he would respond. Yes, Mahaprabhu Das?
Maharaj, I understand that there are three temples throughout the world, Radharas Bihari, if I hope I'm correct, and London and Washington, where they have got deities of, means worship of Radha, Ram, Sita, Lakshman, Hanumanji. And but we, all the time, in our heart, we only worship Krishna. And I understand Srila Prabhupada had made some statement that in India people worship Ram. Actually, they were not given entry to Krishna by so-called sadhus and panditas. So Srila Prabhupada made these deities only for the purpose so that the people can come and you can talk to them about Krishna. The purpose was that only, not making Ram temple. So once Srila Prabhupada said something, I will please.
Yes, Mahaprabhu Das is asking about the place of Ram in our temples. During Srila Prabhupada's time, he did install Sita Ram in Washington, D.C., and then he wanted them here. We do have Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman in England at Bhaktivedanta Manor. They came later. One evening, when Srila Prabhupada was staying at the back, he brought up the subject of what deities we should have in the temple. In the standard ISKCON altar, where there are three sections, there's like Gaur Nitai on the left, center is Radha Krishna, and right is Jagannath, Baladeva, and Subhadra. Sometimes Srila Prabhupada would have something in mind, but he would inspire it to come out of your mouth. So maybe that's what happened. But in any case, we already had the Vrindavan temple, so it was very easy. We'd say, this altar is called Guru Gauranga, Gaur Nitai, and Srila Prabhupada and his Guru Maharaj. And then we had Radharasa Bihari. So I suggested, young kid anyway, I suggested we should have Lalitan Vishaka. Prabhupada's eyes, like he opened wide and he lit up. Very good. Very good idea. And then maybe he brought up the idea of Ram. As he said, there are many Ram Bhaktas in Bombay. And then there was a discussion, Sita Ram, or like Ram Darbar. And finally, maybe I suggested this, because I like the Brij Basi print, Sita Ram, Lakshman, and Hanuman. So we settled on Sita Ram, Lakshman, and Hanuman. Here, he said, there are many Ram Bhaktas. In Washington, D.C., he said it's the capital. It's the seat of the government. So they should learn what is the ideal rule from Ram. So that's why I wanted to have Ram in Washington, D.C. But it's true that our worshipable lords are Radha and Krishna. They're our goal. And it's true that by the association of devotees, visitors to the temple should become devotees of Guru and Gauranga and Radha and Krishna. And that's our service here, to preach. Prabhupada said the goal of the temple is not seeing the deities. The goal of the temple is associating with devotees. So people come to see the deities, but the real emphasis should be on the association of devotees. Because it's by hearing from the devotees that you know who is Ram, you know who is Krishna, you know who is Chaitanya, and you know what is the mood of pure devotional service. Otherwise, people come, they have material desires. They may bow down, they may put money in the box, they may become life members, they may become donors. But they could be materialistic, and their goal could be to get more in return. They're not really in the mood of a devotee or a pure devotee. They're in the mood of a businessman making an investment, or like you know, paying a bribe maybe, making a deal. Like at Tirupati, people know, somehow the word is out, that if you give to Balaji, your desires will be fulfilled. The political candidates, they go to Balaji to get victory. It's like Prabhupada said, the thief is praying to Krishna, please let me be successful in my thievery. And the householder is praying to Krishna, please keep my house safe from thieves. So he said, what is Krishna to do? Krishna is perplexed. He's God. He has to fulfill everyone's desire. But their desires are opposite. He said, they're just giving headache to Krishna. He said, they should give up their desires. They should give up their plans, and they should just surrender to Krishna's plans. I don't know how it works. All the candidates are going, and so that is not bhakti. That is not bhakti. It's good in the sense that they admit that there's some higher authority, but that's not bhakti. That's business. I heard a joke. We don't usually, I don't know, I didn't hear many jokes when I was in India, but I heard one joke about a man who went to the deity, and he prayed to the deity that I'm going to the racetrack to bet on the horses, and if I win, I'll give you 1 lakh of rupees. So he went to the races, he bet on his horse, and he won 50,000 rupees. So he went back to the deity. He said, Lord, you didn't trust me. You took your share first. So sometimes they try to make business with God, sometimes they try to cheat also. So that's not bhakti. Bhakti is anyabhilasita shunyam. No selfish desire. The desire only to please Krishna. So that's what we have to teach people when they come here. They're not going to become devotees automatically just by seeing the deity. Of course, they get pious credit by bowing down, by putting money in the box, by doing service. They get pious credit. But ultimately, they can only become devotees by the association of a devotee, of a pure devotee in particular. So that's our challenge now, to give them the association of devotees so that they become pure devotees.
Maharaj, you said in your class that there are four things: one, land; second, permission; third, creation means building temple; and the fourth thing you said, preaching, means use the facility for. So what Srila Prabhupada really wanted when we got these three things done with a great battle, what do you mean by that, use that facility for preaching? What's the vision at that Srila Prabhupada wanted?
Well, Mahaprabhu is asking now, you know, the challenge or the struggle is to use the facility properly. We got it. We got the land. We got the permission. We built the temple. So it means we should use it to attract people to Krishna consciousness and give them the message of Krishna consciousness. And the same thing, yad yad acharati shrestas, preach to the leaders. Prabhupada wanted a restaurant where they would get Krishna prasad. He wanted an auditorium where they could see devotional performances. He wanted us to engage the leaders. He wanted us to attract foreigners who come to India in search of spiritual knowledge. So he even suggested we could teach yoga here, if that would attract them, but somehow or other attract foreigners who are coming to India for spiritual life. But he wanted to feed, you know, the class and the mass. He said the temple should be a via media for feeding and clothing the hungry and naked. So people who have means, they can donate foodstuffs. Or for a while we even had a receptacle where people would give their old clothes. And in those days, now it's changed to some extent. But is it like a poor village, like I mentioned? There were a lot of really poor children in the neighborhood. They'd come for kirtan, and Prabhupada wanted us to feed them and give them clothes. And there was one little boy, actually, who was on the verge of death. And the devotees saved his life. He was, like, so hungry, sick. But anyway... So Prabhupada wanted to help everyone. And there are many details, but this is the basic idea. Of course, they say the devil is in the details, but... Yes?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
It's a wonderful class, and regarding the Mother Yashoda's and baby Krishna's Leela, as you have very nicely explained that Krishna has said, Mamunusmar Yuddhisa, remember me and fight. And fight means not only fighting in the battlefield, but making sincere efforts to achieve the goal, to struggle. So when Mother Yashoda wanted to catch Krishna and bind him, and she was thinking that Krishna is her child, her son, not God. So she was not remembering to the God, but she must be remembering to child, Krishna only, how to catch him, how to bind him. So here, whether she is remembering to Krishna or to Lord to help her to reach to her goal, to catch Krishna. She is remembering only as a child, not as a Lord.
Well, that's a nice question. He's saying that we're supposed to mam anusmarana yudhyacha, fight and at the same time remember Krishna. So she was remembering Krishna, but she was thinking of Krishna as her son, not as God. But the Brijbasis, they did worship God. They worshiped Lord Narayan. And they would pray to Lord Narayan to protect their son Krishna. Nanda Maharaj also worshiped Nrisimhadev for the protection of Krishna. So they did worship God for the protection of Krishna, not thinking that Krishna himself is the Supreme God. And it may be that in the midst of of a very intense activity, one might not be consciously praying, but within one's heart one knows that one depends on Krishna. Like the story of Arjun shooting the target, and like they asked him what he saw, and all he saw was it the eye of the fish? All he saw was the eye of the fish. That was so it may be that when a particular task requires a lot of concentration, that we're not consciously praying to Krishna. It depends, you know, but certainly the overall endeavor is done in the mood of prayerful dependence on the Lord. Definitely. Yes?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
My question is regarding the prayerful mood towards the deities you said.
Sorry?
The desires which we make in front of the deities. You said it should be Anya Bilashata Shunyam. But sometimes while preaching, I tell my friends that, you know, for good marks or whatever, you should pray to Krishna. Krishna will help you. So by making desires, don't you come to the higher platform? Like, you desire, but slowly, slowly, when you come to closer, I mean, do you remain on the same position or you come higher? Like, we ask to Krishna everything. Like, depending on Krishna for everything, like any material or spiritual, but even for material, like exams and anything, we are praying to Krishna. So we really come to higher platform, or that Anya Vilata Shunyam, like, do we come to that, you know, little confusion. Please explain me that.
She's saying that sometimes we might encourage someone who has a material desire to go to Krishna. And going to Krishna with one's material desire is better than pursuing one's material desire independent of Krishna. Like, the other day I was walking and someone approached me. Maybe they were sick. The same thing, people see someone, they think, oh, he's a sadhu, I can get blessings. I can get blessings. Blessings usually means they want something material. Yesterday someone approached me and asked for blessings. I said, what blessing do you want? The person was silent. So I said, well, let me know what blessing you want and then I'll decide if I want to give it to you or not. So they come, they all want blessings, but for most people blessings means they want something material. But anyway, in this case the person came up, I'm sick, I'm suffering from, you know, as I said, chant Hare Krishna, you know, that will help you. So that's better than they just, you know, worry about being sick and go to doctors and take medicine. And that will increase their piety, like a Gyata Sukriti, increase their piety. And when their piety increases, they become more eligible, more receptive to pure devotional service. So we don't condemn it, but our goal should be to bring them to the level of pure devotional service where they're not approaching Krishna for material benefit. You know, your question about praying to Krishna to be successful in your exams. Now, from a certain point of view, that's material, but the degree to which it's material may also depend on the degree to which you are spiritual or material. Suppose someone's working, it's just an example. Suppose someone's working to get a PhD so that he can preach Krishna consciousness as a scholar. So he might pray to pass his exam, but the ultimate goal is to serve Krishna. Whereas someone else could be praying to pass his exam so that he can, you know, get a good job and go to America and get an American wife and get a green card and enjoy sense gratification. So it's the same, it's the consciousness ultimately. A devotee will offer obeisances in the mood of surrender. A karmi will offer obeisances in the mood of getting blessings. You know? The obeisances are the same. A pure devotee can put money in the box and a karmi can put money in the box. The motive is different. So it's not the activity per se that qualifies the activity as pure devotional service or not, but it's the consciousness.
Not wrong. That's not wrong, like motivating newcomers, like I tell them, like we, no? Like motivating, you know, like telling them, you know, you can pray to Krishna, whatever you want, he gives. So is it wrong or it is right? Tell them like this.
She's saying she might tell them that whatever they want, they should go to Krishna and Krishna will fulfill their desire.
Yeah.
Is it wrong or right?
Yeah.
Well, there's a danger.
Okay.
Because, okay, they'll go to Krishna and pray to Krishna to pass their exam and or whatever, to get 90% or whatever. Then they don't get 90%. Then what? Then if their faith in Krishna is based on getting something material from Krishna and then they don't get it, then their faith in Krishna will be diminished. I think a more appropriate instruction would be, go to Krishna. He's all-powerful. He can fulfill your desires. But he's like a loving father. He knows what's good for you better than you yourself know. And he'll do whatever is, if you pray to him sincerely, he'll do whatever is best for you. Yes?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. How to realize the taste of holy name?
How to realize?
The taste of holy name.
Oh, taste for the holy name. Oh, that's a very good question. Srila Rupa Goswami has given the example of a diseased person who has jaundice. The Ayurvedic cure for jaundice is sugar candy. But when you're diseased, you don't taste the sugar candy as sweet. It tastes bitter. But the cure for the jaundiced condition is sugar candy. So you take it on the doctor's order, and gradually as you recover from your disease, you'll be able to taste the sugar as sweeter and sweeter. And when you're completely cured of your disease, you can taste the sugar as it is, sweet, like nectar. So in the same way, in the beginning, we may not have taste for the holy name because we're diseased. But if we go on chanting without offense, that's the main thing, to try to chant with attention and avoid all the other offenses. then gradually Krishna will give us his mercy and will develop more and more taste for the holy name. But these offenses, 10 offenses, the one of chanting with attention or inattention, that's something that you do when you chant. But other offenses, they don't relate to what you're doing at the time of chanting, but they relate to your whole life. And a devotee, surrender devotee, anukulyasya sankalpa, pratikulyasya varjana, he'll accept what's